Eternity is a place that we have opportunities now to prepare for. No one grows old in eternity. The life we live now gives us an opportunity to make a choice of where we will be placed there. No one grows old in eternity. You must make deliberate choices as you walk through this world, where you are going to be placed throughout eternity. You must make deliberate and conscious choices. Let your choices be considered not only based on the mundane things of this world, on the temporal things of this world. Every time you have to make a choice, every time you have to make a decision, ask yourself, how does it affect me now? And how will it affect me after now? Joseph told Potiphar's wife, it is a good idea, it is a good option, but if I do this thing, I am going to sin against God. If I do this thing, I will enjoy it. I will be happy now, but it's going to cost me after now. So my decisions are not based on my temporary enjoyment. If what I am going to do now will not give me a good position after now, there is no point doing it at all. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So next time that person asks you to sign a signature that you are not the owner, you ask yourself, what will it do for me now? Next time that person tells you, see me in my hotel room, I will take care of your bills, you ask yourself, if I pay my house rent now, pay my school fees now, and have capital for my business now, how will it affect my eternity? What if I die in the process? Many died in the process of committing sin for the first time. Praise God. Many died on the process of stealing for the first time. Amen. And people can die by accident, never prepared for. Somebody can say, don't worry, I'm a very careful person. I will take care of myself and I make sure that before I die, I have repented. Oh, it's not everybody that will have those opportunities. If you listen to the story of the Allah 4 in Uriport, those four students that were killed, they never thought they were going to die that day. Praise God. They woke up and before you know it, it ensued into violence and they died. What if amongst their four, somebody preached to them yesterday and they said, don't worry, I still have until Sunday. Don't worry, when I get to church, I will say to them, forget about that, you're preaching. Eternity have stepped in. No change. And so it should be more important to us what we can do to place us well there. Praise the Lord. Once a man steps into eternity, he cannot change his location. He cannot change his choice. He cannot change anything else. The choice that determines where you will be placed in eternity cannot be made there. It is made here. And you can also make your own now. Praise God. You can decide. I said, Lord, from today, I have made a choice to follow you. I made that choice in 1995, precisely in the month of July. And ever since that time till now, I've been walking with that choice. So yours can be now. You know, when I see somebody who say, are you born again? He say, I'm born again. I ask him, how long have you been born again? He doesn't have a date. He doesn't know when he gave his life to Jesus. Something has not happened in his life. No, there's been no change. Praise God. I was passing somewhere and I heard this song. Vanity upon vanity, the Bible tells me so. Living a life without Jesus is vanity upon vanity. You know, I was going to preach somewhere. So I finished preaching and I was going. There was another church close by the church I was preaching. And they started singing that song. I told my host, wait a little. He didn't know what I was listening. I loved the song and I just waited a bit. And they sang it like three times. And I got it in my spirit. Vanity upon vanity, the Bible tells me so. Living a life without Jesus is vanity upon vanity. I finished preaching to people, but that song preached to me all through that day. A life without Jesus is vanity. Let your life be full of posh cars, good houses, big account. If it is without Jesus, it's a life that is vanity. Amen. So, before you step into eternity, you must consciously make choices. And those choices will be made here. Tell yourself the truth for once. A lot of persons are trying to make it look as if there is an easier way to go to heaven. If somebody tells you ABC of heaven is lying. In school, mostly in secondary school, you have textbooks and you also have key point. Praise God. Now, key point and textbooks are not the same. In fact, if only what you read to prepare for exam is key point, you are going to fail that exam. Praise God. Key point will only help you when you have read the main textbook. And so if you use key point alone and prepare for exams, you know, key point gives definitions, they don't give explanations. Amen. So you just give you pick a key point and it gives you a definition of what motion is. It doesn't give you instances to enable you to understand what it's talking about. And so if somebody comes to tell you, I have key points that you can make heaven through, that person is lying to you. The devil took Jesus to the highest pinnacle and showed him the glamour and the glory of the earth. And said, if you will bow down to me, I will give it to you. That was the devil trying to show Jesus a shortcut to what he came for. And Jesus said, in heaven, there are no shortcuts. In heaven, you can't cut corners. It's either you are righteous or not. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, for without which no man can see the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. And so you have to understand it. It's not going to be your beautiful voice. It can't take you to heaven. It is only here on earth that the gift of a man will make a way for him. It doesn't happen in heaven. The giftings of a man doesn't make a way for a man in heaven. It is the walking of a man. It is the life of a man. And that's why God places a high premium on our character more than our giftings. God places a high premium on our character. God places a high premium on the fruit that we bear than the gift that we carry. It is easy to carry gift. You can carry gift without carrying the fruit. But it is the fruit of the Spirit of God that will make you close to the Spirit of God. I was reading the book of Ephesians chapter 2, talking about how Jesus humbled himself and died the death of the cross. How Jesus didn't think it robbery to be equal with God, even when he was God, from all ramification. And right down in my spirit, I heard this word, you can't be where he is if you cannot be like him. I heard it in my spirit. He said, you can't be where he is if you cannot be like him. If you are not like him, you can't be where he is. And why I was trying to understand that word, another scripture in Colossians dropped in my spirit. It said, let this mind that was in Christ also be in you. Praise God. And then I understood it clearly. That we can't be with him if we are not like him. We can't be with him. He said, now we may not know what we look like, but we shall see him when he shall appear. And we shall be like him because we will see him. Praise God. So the more you see Jesus, the more of his image you are going to take in you. What am I driving at? Is that you will not be a Christian on earth only. That you will not be a Christian by nomenclature and title. But you will be a Christian by character and attitude. You'll be a Christian by divine recognition and not by church recognition. That you won't be a Christian only on register or on roll. You'll be a Christian that when God returns, he will find you worthy to be taken home. Are you still with me? Praise God. In primary school, we used to sing this song. It has disappeared in church. When you come to collect your people, remember me, O Lord. Remember me, O Lord. When you come to collect your people, remember me, O Lord, my God. Eternal, eternal life. Eternal, eternal life. I want to live eternal life. God, save my soul. I want to live eternal life. God, save my soul. Now, those were the songs that when you sing it, you will feel a dampness in your spirit. You know, those songs are no more. Some of the songs we sing in the church today came from the pit of hell. Even if it's looking religious, Satan gave it to us to remove the consciousness of God. Praise God. You know, today the devil is producing songs using his own agent and people are singing it. You don't want to leave reggae alone. You have followed reggae. And even when you repented, you have not repented from reggae and Bob Marley. And then you just sing your own. And say, no, Jesus, no life. Oh, no, Jesus, no life. The lyrics is different, but the source is the same. Praise God. The source is the same. And so when you begin to sing it, the inspiration that Bob Marley had, or whoever sang that song, is the same inspiration that you carry. Praise God. It may carry a religious intonation, but no, the inspiration is not the same. Praise Master Jesus. And so you must come to the point in your life where you make up your mind and said, I'm going to live a life in such a way that I can make it to heaven. I was listening to a radio discussion yesterday after the presidential award. Four persons were given award that stood out. The man that picked about 18 million in his car and returned it to the person, the man who designed the Nigerian flag, and the steward who has served in the presidency. He has served 9 presidents as stewards and all of that. Now, those men's national awards stood out, and people were having a discourse on it. And then this question was asked, can you be poor and still maintain your integrity? Can you be poor and still have a good reputation? And a lot of people called in to make their contribution. Now listen to those who called in and say, forget it, it is not possible. Poverty will make you lose every sense of integrity and reputation. Praise God. But that man clearly showed that if you have the right values, poverty will not change you. Do you know that Lazarus was poor, but he made it to heaven? Praise God. So why are you giving those excuses? And say, God, you understand. If you have given me the job I've been asking you for, I will not be sleeping around the way I'm sleeping around. So God, the ball is in your court. It's either you give me the job or you allow me to flirt around. And God said, no problem. Keep doing what you want to do. On that day of judgment, every man will give account what he has done with his body. And if God is saying you will give account of what you do with your body, that invariably means you give account of what you do with your marriage, you give account of what you do with your business, you give account of what you do with your children. And so that consciousness must be there in our subconscious. They said, everything I do in this world, let it be enough that it will transfer me into the world beyond here. Praise God. I look at men who lived for eternity. We are looking at preparing for eternity. Praise God. The man that first came to Nigeria, in particular to stop the killing of twins, when he came to Nigeria to do that, he tried doing it, he didn't succeed, he died in his house. He died on his knees. History has it that he died on his knee praying. He had tried everything possible for them to stop killing. He said, God, even if this thing will not work in my time, oh God, you will continue this war. When that man died, Mary Slessor came and took over from him. Praise God. When Mary Slessor came and took over from him, Mary Slessor was not married, you know. Was a single young woman. He came and took over and fought the killing of twins. And today, those of us that are twins, we have her to thank. Praise God. And she defeated that war. Even though she died, she was brutally murdered. Praise God. And there were people who lived for eternity. A woman who went to India with her husband as missionaries. They said, we need these Hindus. We want to change them for God. When they went to India, the history has it. The Indians killed her husband and ate him raw. She saw it. And she ran away. After some years, she went back to India. And when she went back to India, not to revenge, not to arrest them, but to preach the gospel. And she targeted that same area that her husband was killed. And history has it that she preached to them. And one of the first person that repented in her message was the man that killed her husband. Praise God. And she stayed in India and won them for Christ, living for eternity, not living for themselves, not living for what we can have. Today, the mentality of Christians, too poor, too bad, too unfortunate, is that we are living for clothes. We are living for shelter. We are living for cars. If God has not given me that car, I'm going to change church. I'm not going to serve him again. I've stayed for too long. There's no change around me. That's what we are living for. But friends, there is something more important we should live for. And that's for the kingdom. Because this life is not permanent. Praise the Lord. If anybody tells you it's permanent, the person is not helping you. Eternity is the final state into which everyone is going to enter. The truth is that you are already making a choice of what your eternity will look like by what you are doing now. That's the bitter truth. You are already making a choice of what your eternity will look like by what you are doing now. It doesn't matter what they preach in the church, you are still doing what you are doing. Praise God. He said, don't mind them. Nobody sees me. I'm a clever guy. I'm a smart guy. I will outsmart them. I will still behave the way I'm behaving. Can you imagine that in the church that fornication is preached and repentance is preached, there are people who still commit fornication? Praise God. And what are they thinking about? Living for today. Living for the now. I just love you, my lover. I'm just going to have all the pleasure I need. Who says that those who go to church don't die? Have you not heard that somebody was coming back from church and while crossing the road, a car hit the person and he died? The truth is that the church will not end because that brother or that sister died on the road. In fact, another person will be crossing to the church while the car hit the person that was crossing away from church. But the church is going to continue. But the life of that fellow has come to an end. At that point, he or she steps into eternity. And his pastor, her pastor, will not have anything to do. Cannot change what happens to her there. I attended a burial for the first time. When people were called to come and talk about the dead man, I saw a sincere man. They called him one of the best friends of the dead man. He came and stood and said, this my friend, whatever he has done, God and him will decide what will happen. I don't know whether he did good or bad, but anything he did in his lifetime, as he's going now, he will meet his creator. Praise God. So I'm not here to keep saying this man was good. You know all of those testimonies in burial places. You hardly see any man that was bad. The moment somebody dies, come and say, this man was good, was a clean man, was a good man. That testimonies and those testimonies won't change your destination. Or the fact that a pope conducted your burial won't change where you are going. If there is anything that can change your placement in eternity, this choice that you are making now. And the truth is that you are already determining where you will be in eternity by the things that you are doing. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, he said, behold, I come quickly. Let him that is righteous continue to be righteous. And let him that is living in sin continue to be in sin. But let them know that I am coming quickly. So, the ball is in your court. You hold the pen in your hand and you are busy day by day, though unconsciously writing the script of your eternity. God does not want us to wake up on the other side in eternity full of regrets. That's why he graciously speaks to us about eternity in his word. If you enter eternity with regret, you will forever live in regret. If you enter into eternity with a sense of unfinished assignment, he will forever live with it. For instance, there are some people that will go to heaven. And when they get to heaven, God will show them. He said, these are the things you were supposed to get, but you couldn't get them, even if you have made it to heaven. You see, even if the person is in heaven, every time he looks down and see what he was supposed to achieve for God, he will shake his head and say, ha! And there is no way that feeling will change because you don't have a second chance to amend it. Praise God. People say, even if they tell me to be shoemaker in heaven or get man, I will be fine. If you don't like to be a shoemaker here, I don't think you will enjoy being a shoemaker there. Praise God. Because there will be levels. I just want to make heaven anyhow. Don't want to make it anyhow. Make heaven the way you should make it. If you enter into eternity with a sense of unfinished assignment, you forever live with it. There is no program for making up for deficiency in eternity. When Jesus repeats something twice in a sentence, then it is wise to take note of it. He talked about worm in Mark chapter 9, verse 44. Now, do you know that a worm in this world is the easiest thing to kill? In this world, you don't need a tool, you don't need a weapon to kill a worm. All you need is just to step on it and the worm is dead. Or if you want to punish the worm more, you just drop some pinch of salt on it. And you will see the worm cut into pieces. Now, that's how easy it is to kill a worm, to deal with a worm. But the Bible says that the worm that will make it to eternity will not die. So even when you step on it, that worm cannot die. That tells you that even the easiest thing to die in eternity becomes unkillable. Praise God. You can kill worm here on earth, but as little and as boneless as it is, if a man enters eternity, it will never die. That is to tell you that eternity, even a worm, lives forever. Jesus also described hell as a place where their fire is never quenched. This is because it cannot be quenched. The reason why the fire of hell never quenches is because it cannot be quenched. And again, imagine somebody being tortured with fire and the fire is not reducing. Yet the person himself is not dying, or the person is not being burned. Why would the fire not quench? Because what the fire is burning is not being burned. Praise God. If you want fire in the local village to keep glowing, what do? You keep adding firewood. If the firewoods are still there, what happens? The fire will keep burning. Until the firewoods are finally consumed, the fire will not go down. The Bible said the fire of hell is unquenchable. The simple reason is, number one, it cannot be quenched. Number two, the things that are burning in the fire cannot die. The things that are burning in the fire cannot be burnt up. So the fire has a job to do. Praise God. Amen. Those days we watch Living Hell. When they show film, Hellfire, you see people cry, give their life to Jesus. Today such films have disappeared. Praise God. And you see today people begin to confess everything positive. I went to a wedding and the pastor told me he would want me to join him, but that he wants me to join with for better, for best, for richer, for richest. I said, I don't join people with that. I will preach. Tell another person to join you. So he chose another person and I preached. Praise God. Amen. That is the world. That is the Christianity we have now. The Christianity we have today that don't believe that you have to go through anything for Christ. Praise God. For better, for what? And now they joined him on Saturday with for better, for best, for richer, for riches. By Sunday, the following week, he called me that they don't have a house. Praise God. He said, what? They don't have a house of their own now. In fact, that before the wedding, the landlord has already ejected him. They just went and put his thing in a security house. Now, that's a man that they joined in for richer, for riches. What happened for richer, for riches? Praise God. Did it change anything? Did that for richer, for riches give you a house? Did it make you to live in a duplex? But that's the mentality Christians carry today. And that's why you see people come to church and give God time. And said, if I stay here for 3 years and I'm not yet married, I will bullshit God. In fact, if I pray and pray and pray and nothing is changing, I'm not going to be coming to church again. Praise God. Now, they are giving God time. That's the mentality we have in Christianity today. And we forget about the most important thing of life. Jesus said, if you need to be afraid, don't be afraid of a man who can kill your body and cannot kill your soul. But there is one man I want to introduce you to be afraid of. The one who can kill both your spirit and your body in hellfire. That's a man you need to fear. In Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the Lord. For our God is a consuming fire. You don't wait for God to make your judgment. Praise God. In Daniel chapter 5, the Bible said, Darius the king, he made feasts for his lords. And then he ordered for the holy vessels that his father Nebuchadnezzar dreaded. He said, go and bring those vessels for me. Let me use them and drink wine with my prostitutes and with my concubines. They disdained the God of Israel. While the wine was still in his mouth, the Bible says, God wrote on his wall and said, your days have been numbered. You have been weighed in a balance and you have been found wanting. This night, what you have been enjoying will be taken away from you. Let me say this to you, that God can bless you and still kill you. You don't like that all. God can bless you while waiting to kill you. How do I know that? Numbers chapter 11, Numbers chapter 12, Numbers chapter 13. The Bible said the people murmured against God, talking about the Israelites, because they needed meat. They have been eating manna and eating manna. They started murmuring and said, we remember the carrot, the cucumber, and all those garlic we used to enjoy in Egypt. Moses, you have brought us here to starve us of meat. Give us meat, not only this manna. And God told them, I will give you meat to eat. Not one day, not 2 days, not 1 week, but you will eat 1 month. And you will eat until it will come out of your nostrils. May that not be the kind of blessings that you want to get. God said, I will give you meat and you will eat until it will come out from your nostrils. That is disease. When what you are eating in your mouth is coming out from your nose, it's no longer enjoyment. It's what? It's disease. And the Bible says, while the meat came, God commanded quails. They fell down and every man rushed and was speaking. And the Bible said, while they were eating and the meat was in between their teeth, God struck them with diseases and they died. Praise God. So that means God can answer your prayer and still kill you. Did you see it there? He gave them meat and still killed them while they were eating the meat. So God can bless you while he's waiting to replace you. He can bless you while he's waiting to knock you off. Praise Master Jesus. So you've got to understand that. And understand that the mentality of today's Christianity is not for what we can get from God, but for what we can make our life to be. Let your life be useful to the economy of heaven. Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When you come to church, what are you seeking? What are you looking for? Unfortunately today, people come to church to look for all the wrong things. There are those who come to church to look for ladies. They come and they look. Their eyes are not in the scripture. Their hearts are not in the messenger. They are looking at the lady that they will toast. What are you looking for? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And every other thing will be added to you. Why are you looking for the things that are supposed to be added? When you begin to look for additions, you will struggle for it. Look for the things you ought to look for, and the natural additions will follow. My prayer for you is that you will make it when the trumpet will sound. In burials, they sing this song a lot. But I'm sure that those songs are even supposed to be sung before people die. Because the dead man or the dead woman don't know the meaning and the implication. Fading away like the stars of the morning, losing their sight in the glorious day. Yet we will pass from this hurt and his toiling. Only remember by what he has done. Only remember, only remember, only remember by what they have done. Yet we will pass through this world and his toiling. Only remember by what we have done. The man who is dead does not have any benefit in that song. That song should be sung more in church. Let people understand. Have you ever taken time to go through the songs in the hymn books? You discover that men wrote it with the heart of heaven. Praise God. And the songs are still making meaning today. What is your mind? What are you doing concerning eternity? Praise the Lord. Jesus told the story of the rich man and the poor man in Luke chapter 16. Write it down. Luke chapter 16 verse 19 to 31. A very familiar story and we love it. Now, in that story, the Bible says the man was so rich. The man was so wealthy. He had everything here on earth that he needed to enjoy life with. But there was another poor man who had nothing. And then the Bible says one day the poor man died and he was taken to the bosom of Abraham. And then the rich man died and he was taken to hell. Now, that's a parable that is giving us an illustration or drawing a picture of what life is going to be like after death. And now, when the poor man got to heaven and the rich man got to hell, fortunately or unfortunately for the rich man, he lifted up his eyes and saw the poor man and recognized him. My earnest prayer is not that the church should be filled to the brim. My earnest prayer is that if God gives us 100, when the trumpet sound, let it be that possibly that the 100 we will go together. Praise the Lord. For instance, the way God marks success. If God gives you a church of 10,000 members and give another pastor a church of 100 members, when the trumpet sounds, the man who is pastoring 100 people have 70 people line up behind me in heaven. And the one who is pastoring 10,000 persons have 100 people or 200 people lined up behind him in heaven. Who is more successful? The man who pastored 100 is more successful. Praise God. I told a pastor that I went to preach to, I said, the crowd that God gathers around you is an opportunity to prepare them for heaven. Never make them think that this is a bread and butter place where you come and God will solve your problem every time. You don't make them think that God is a sugar daddy or God is a Father Christmas, that when you enter that small room, the Father Christmas will put his hands in a bag and bring something for you, and then you will come being happy. No, God is not like that. God wants your life first before he wants the things that you have. Praise God. God is not committed to man on the basis of our reputation. He's committed to us on the basis of our character. He wants to make you. He wants to mold you. Amen. And so Jesus said, the rich man went to hell and saw the poor man Lazarus. And then he started a conversation with Abraham. He said, Father Abraham, I am suffering here that I am. I'd like you to know and let nobody tell you otherwise. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place of suffering. And somebody jovially said, hell will be fun. He said, we are going to be having nightclub every day. Say, you don't understand what you are talking with until when you get there. Praise God. Hell will be fun. What kind of fun will you have? Amen. No man ever has fun in a house that is burning. Have you seen a man that was sleeping and discovered that his house is burning? Will he stand up and begin to jump up and down? What will he be looking for? The easiest route to run away. Praise God. And somebody saying hell is going to be fun because of the personalities, VIPs that will be there. May you not be a VIP in hell. Praise God. It's not the best place to be a VIP. They say VIPs will be there. The man said, Father Abraham, I'm being tormented here. Can you send Lazarus to dip a tip of his finger and then come and quench my thirst? I'm thirsty. Now, that was a man who had more than enough to drink while he was on earth. That was a man that water was never his problem. He could drink any kind of wine, any kind of liquid. He could drink any liter or volume of water he needed. But he landed in somewhere that his physical resources couldn't help him to do anything. Will he also appear there? He says, send Lazarus. Let him come and quench my thirst. Of all that somebody can ask for, he was just asking for water. May you not get to a place in God where you will ask for the things that was very common in your lifetime. Why didn't he ask for bed? Why didn't he ask for a flat screen television? He asked for a drop of water. Praise God. That is how bad the place is. And the response of Abraham to that man's request was hilarious, but also very frightening. Son, Abraham said this, you have had and squandered all your provisions and opportunities while on earth. Here you are in torment, and there is no single drop of water that we can offer you, implying that you drank all your water while you were on earth. Praise God. Abraham said, there is no water that we can offer you here. That is to say, while you were on earth, you drank all your own water. Praise God. Are you sure you are not enjoying all the enjoyment here on earth? And no one is reserved for you there. He said, allow me to enjoy my life. I'm a young man full of life. I'm a young girl full of life. Beautiful, I'm just growing up. Let no man disturb me. Let no person disturb me. I'm going to just enjoy myself. Forget about the word of God. Here was he standing on the other side and staring at his infinite years of torment without a drop of water to his credit. The rich man knew that it was only on earth that one can choose his or her placement in eternity. He told Abraham, if I cannot drink water, let me accept my fate. Please send Lazarus. Let him go to my brothers. They are five. Most of them are more wicked than I am. If they continue to live like that, they will land in this place. Let it be that it is only me that is suffering. Do you know that some men will go to hell with their wives and children? Praise God. He said, let it be that it is only me that is suffering. Tell my brothers, let them change their ways so that they will not land here. And Abraham said, they have Moses. They have Pastor Nephiok and Pastor Nebet. They have all the pastors in the radios and in the books. If they don't listen to them, they will also come here. Are you listening to what is being preached here? Because sometimes the way some of us live, if you listen to what we preach here, you won't be living the way you are living. Praise God. You won't still be doing the things that you are doing. Sometimes it amazes me. When I hear this person did this, I say, of all this, what if you were in a church that never preaches about it at all? You would have been the devil yourself. Praise God. If they say, allow me, let me do this, they are not seeing me. I may not see you, but God is seeing you. And if God decides to kill you one day, my speaking in tongues won't change it. And the greatest loss will not be that you are no more alive. The greatest loss will be that you died and went to hell, even when we conducted a Christian funeral. Praise God. But he said, Mampa, make sure that they call trumpeters to come and blow. You better don't say, let them call trumpeters to blow. When I die, make sure that you put this cloth on me. You see this cloth? Some persons have already bought the cloth that they will wear them. As if they don't wear them, the cloth, they will stand up and say, that's the cloth I chose. Praise God. Instead of making that preparation, make preparation that when you die, angels will come and carry you. Praise the Lord.